Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another edition of the Five Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards. And this week is a big preview week. We got a lot of shows to talk about coming up in the next 7 days, whether they be in Japan or America. It is a big time week for Joshi, so we are going to do our best to preview and set you up for what is expected to be an incredible next week of Joshi action. I'll also be talking a little bit about this past weekend for Stardom, as they aired both of their shows live on Stardom World, which we will be getting to. I have a whole conversation point about Stardom World, don't you worry. We'll be previewing TJPW's Grand Princess 24, which is looking to be a big time show for them as per usual. What else? And then, of course, WrestleMania week. We have a U.S. show for Stardom. We have a U.S. show for TJPW. We have Stardom wrestlers on other shows. So we are going to talk everything. This is going to be kind of a 2 week review in terms of Joshi in America, because next week the TJPW show doesn't happen till sometime Friday morning, but the Stardom show does happen on Thursday afternoon, so I will be reviewing that next week along with the stacked Grand Princess and whatever else happens this weekend. It's going to be a lot of previewing, a lot of conversations, but I do want to open this show with a fun throwback segment from way back on the show that I wanted to bring back, and I never got to do it because of how much wrestling I watch. It just never worked out. So let's get to it. That, of course, is retro matches. I like to watch old Joshi matches when I have the time, and this week, my goodness, did I watch a great one. It was from JWP 2013, JWP Climax 2013. It was on December 15th. It was one-on-one, Arisa Nakajima versus Kana. What a freaking match, folks. Unbelievably great. I've seen clips from this match time and time again, but I never had seen it start to finish. I've had time this week. There hasn't been a lot of wrestling to watch. It's been great, actually. I've been able to do a lot of things. You know, I've been able to play some games. They went into Helldivers 2. Game's fantastic. Play a little MLB The Show. Opening days today, the day I'm recording this. And I'm starting to rewatch The Sopranos. So it's been a good week. But I needed my wrestling fix. I needed my Joshi fix, especially with Stardom doing live streams on Stardom World this past weekend. I needed something. And Arisa Nakajima versus Kana was the answer to all my problems. Unbelievable match. unbelievable match. It was physical. It was raw. It was nasty. It's one of the best Joshi matches I have ever seen. Probably the best match of Kana Asuka in WWE's career. Probably the best I've ever seen. Same could go for Arisa Nakajima, who is phenomenal. Obviously one of my favorites and someone who I would like to obviously see come back sooner rather than later. I know she's coming back for Seedling, but she's incredible. The physicality in this match was at another level. And I knew that going in because, listen, Kana was nasty. Kana was devastating. Her offense was another level, especially in the early 2000s. No one was matching that physicality. And Arisa Nakajima steps in there and does everything her power to match that physicality. The amount of shoot headbutts in this match, folks, left me on the edge of my seat, left me concerned, left me jumping up and down. Like, that is how many there were. You know, shoot headbutts are terrifying, but they also make pretty much every match that they happen in better. And this was a case of that. To me, this was a 5-star match. I don't give out 5 stars a lot. Funny, considering this is called the 5-star Joe Show, but this was a 5-star match. A Nakajima was on another level to match Kana. And when they started trading the headbutts, it just went from, oh, this is really good, to this is unbelievable. This is tremendous. She ended up winning with her signature Dragon Suplex, sorry. One-arm Dragon Suplex to win. But it's a match you need to go check out. It's on YouTube. Everyone should watch it. If you love Joshi, if you're a fan of Asuka, if you're a fan of Arisa Nakajima, if you've never watched it before, or even if you have watched it before, go out of your way to see it, because my, oh my, was it fantastic. Now, let's get to the present thing. Let's get to what is going on, and that, of course, is Stardom. It's always Stardom, isn't it? Nothing big this weekend outside of, if you watch Actress Girls, of course, is a promotion we've dipped a little into on the show but never committed. I believe their Cork and Hall show just came out as of the day I'm recording, so we won't be covering that, but I could be jumping back into that very soon. What we are going to talk about, though, is Stardom. Stardom went live on Stardom World for the first time ever this past weekend as a test. They did Saturday and Sunday shows live, and one was in Nara, the other in Kyoto. This was, of course, the first weekend of action with the knowledge that Utami Hayashishita, Mirai, Mai Sakurai, and Yuzuki would be leaving. So obviously that feeling was sitting over these shows. But as we always see with Stardom talent, they do not let anything hang over them too long. Some very strong matches on the show. Nothing really blow away from this weekend. Obviously the Cinderella Finals was last Wednesday, so not that I expected it to, but let's get quickly into it. From day one, the matches that you probably should see, I thought the three-way tag of Mayu Iwatani, Yuzuki versus Sayori No, and Natsupoi versus Mina Shirakawa and Azumi was very solid, mostly because Azumi and Mina Shirakawa were a lot of fun together. You know, I think there's a conversation to be had about where Queen's Quest is going moving forward without Utami, and I've had this conversation, but I want to stress this. This is very different from when Io left or when Momo left the group, because the person that was booking understood the importance of that group and how to continue it. And I think we just are in a different world now with Taro Okada running this promotion that, you know, people talk about, oh, this is a legacy faction, it'll be fine, things like that. It's very different now. And I don't know if a faction, you know, a Queen's Quest faction led by Saya Kamatani or Azumi, I think should be the one to lead it if they are to pick a leader. But I don't know if that's going to capture the Queen's Quest feel. Utami, I think Azumi's your only hope, but then you need to add a lot to the group. And I don't see anyone necessarily making sense for the group right now. Now, there's always the possibility of someone from the outside coming in and things like that. But, you know, it remains to be seen which direction they go. But Queen's Quest is interesting. Seeing Mina and Azumi team up here, I got thinking, well, if they ever want to run them together as a duo, it works. That was kind of my first thought. But yeah, that's really all from the Saturday show outside of the Golden Generation teaming up in the main event, or the remainder of the Golden Generation, as Micah, Utami, Saya Kamatani, and Saida teamed up against Julia, Suzuki, Mei Sarah, and Mai Sakurai. I thought it was very nice, obviously, to see the Golden Generation team up. Kind of the mindset right now is to give everyone that's leaving important matches, which is a great mindset to have. That's going to obviously benefit those on the roster. Those on the roster are going to pay attention to that and realize there is respect there from the current booking system. And it's going to also help with the fans, most importantly. You're giving these fans, you know, these final moments to believe in this company and to follow this company, which I think is very important. I don't remember if I talked about this last week, but in a Tokyo Sports article, Utami revealed that she had actually given her notice back in December, which I think that came out maybe after I had recorded this podcast. I could be wrong. But that's big news, obviously. You know, this was dealt with early, and Utami is someone who, as I talked about last week, is probably the most important person he could have gotten from, or Rossi could have gotten from Stardom. And I think that's going to be very apparent soon enough whenever the company gets off the ground. Let's get to the Sunday show. Now, the Sunday show was quite good. Very solid show up and down the card, but here are the highlights. Yuna Mizumori defeated Aya Sakura and then announced after the match that it will be Sayaka Kurara versus Aya Sakura this upcoming weekend, which is essentially a Cosmic Angels decision match. The winner seemingly is officially in the group. And as we've seen, I'm pretty confident Kurara will be the one joining, as Kurara not only has got some wins, but she is someone who I think has the most potential amongst rookies now with Yuzuki leaving, especially. But I also think she just fits way too perfectly. Like, I think there's story avenues that make sense for Aya Sakura if she wasn't supposed to be joining Cosmic Angels. Kurara belongs in the Angels. You know, it's just the truth. And I hope she does indeed get that. But that was important. Mayu teamed up with Yuzuki against Starlight Kid and Rina. To the shock of no one, it was Yuzuki getting pinned as she is on her way out of the company. Rian, the new rookie, came out and made her official challenge for her debut match. It will be her debuting this upcoming weekend against Starlight Kid, which should be very cool for her. We had Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, and Ruaka facing Saya Kamatani, Azumi, and Lady C. Way to Tie continues to cheat, continues to do what they need to do to win, and we just gotta accept it, you know? It's just the way it is. Three-way tag. This was one of the best matches of the night. I thought there were three very solid matches worth actually going out of your way to see, which was FWC, Miyoshi Kawazina, and Crazy Star. This was not surprising, a strong match. Crazy Star obviously building momentum heading into their big tag title match. This match was just, it was just really good action. If there's anything to praise from the Taro Okada house show booking, because we have to wait so long to actually get the matches, it would absolutely be these three-way tags. I think they are often the highlight of the show. And then we had in a very emotional match, as it was Sayori Ano, Tam Nakano, Sayaka Karara, Ami Sarai, Saki Kashima, and Rana Yagami versus Julia, Micah, Shuri, Natsupoi, Mai Sakurai, and Mirai. Yes, it was. One more time, Donna Del Mondo all back together in the center of the ring. They had the old music that Julia used to come out to. They had the poses. They had everything down perfectly. It was legitimately, so I'm getting goosebumps like The Rock right now thinking about it. It was amazing. It gives me chills to think about it because it was so emotional, but it was so exciting to see them all back together. And they did their best to play up their history. You got some ALK moments. You even got Natsupoi turning on them at one point to help Tam. Like, that was a beautiful moment. Obviously, that's how she left the group. It was just everything you kind of want from this goodbye tour of sorts for Julia specifically, because so much of her history, so much of Stardom's history for these past 5 years is Donna Del Mondo. It is Julia. And to allow us to watch them kind of say goodbye publicly with Shuri, right? Shuri was such an important part, obviously. She's an original member. And, you're just in there and you're watching Shuri break down the tears. And it was heartbreaking, but it was beautiful at the same time. You see Julia and Natsupoi rekindle. And it's just like, this is what it's all about, right? Like, when groups break up, it's heartbreaking. But when groups get back together, it's magical. And this was a case of that. I absolutely love this. Everything about it was great. Well worth the watch. I watched this live purposely because of that. You also had Utami Hayashishita defeat Miyu Amasaki. Of course, Miyu Amasaki made her debut in Stardom against Utami in her very first match in the very first New Blood main event. So how could she stack up this time, right? We know Utami's leaving. She's walking out the door. How would she stack up this time? And Amasaki, obviously, not surprisingly, is so different now. She is a wrestler who is obviously super gifted, I think, and it's just taken a while to get it all out there. But Amasaki's beginning to put it together. She's beginning to look like a future player for this company. I've talked about it so many times on the show. And she's doing it against Utami, who obviously Utami, she's someone that got the super push from day one. And that was something that it looked like Rossi and company were going to do for Amasaki, but they did hold back. And I think that was smart for Amasaki's development as compared to Utami, who took on all the challenges and ultimately succeeded. I think fading back was the smartest choice. And it's benefiting her now. It's benefiting her when she is showing what she's capable of. And it's through O2 line, it's through the trios matches, it's through tag team scenarios that she's gotten there, and now her singles matches are living up to it as well. And finally, the main event of the evening. It was Wingori finally defending the titles against Waka Tsukiyama and Nanako. I feel like I've had to hear about this damn tag. Like, it's a funny difference, right? Suzu Suzuki keeps asking for the title match. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Give it a title match. Waka and Hanako keep asking for the matches. I'm like, all right, let's see. You know, enough. Enough is enough. Let's get to it. But they had a really strong match here. Wingori is one of the best tag teams in the world. Plain and simple. Might be the best in terms of consistency right now. All of their matches are just so good. You know, like, sometimes it's as easy as that. They're just so good. And against, you know, a team like Waka and Hanako, you admittedly don't expect too much. But here I am watching this match, and I'm just amazed at how good Saya and Hanan are together. Obviously, Hanan has just grown incredibly well over these past couple months. But Saya Iida deserves the flowers as well. She's been fantastic in her spots. And I don't see that really changing anytime soon, as long as they have these belts. And it's when you think to, like, the five-star now, right? And you think of the five-star and, you know, not having Utami around for it, Julia around for it, Mariah around for it, that's going to suck. Plain and simple, that's going to suck. But you're going to have someone like a Saida step in and hopefully step up. And, you know, a grown Hanan and May Sarah can step in this year. And the list goes on and on and on. It's like, it's still going to be the best tournament in wrestling. You know, it's like, plain and simple, it's still going to be the best. So congratulations to Wingori, obviously successfully defending the titles. Looking forward to what they do next. Now, let's talk about Stardom World's changes. I have come to the realization that many Stardom fans, not all, but many Stardom fans are in a honeymoon phase with Taro Okada and the new regime and how things are running. Because, for the most part, it's been pretty good. And, you know, they being Bushiroad, has, in short order, in a two-month span, essentially, done everything in their power to make Rossi Ogawa look bad, right? Oh, well, he's gone. Here's some live Korakins. Oh, he's gone. We're going to work with AEW. Oh, he's gone. Let's do Stardom World live, right? And for many fans, that is how they look at it. I don't look at it that way. Bushiroad could have made these decisions the entire time. Rossi wanted to leave because he didn't have power. So clearly they could have done this the whole time, but people have missed the point. But that's not the main point of this conversation. The little rant I just had, not the main point of what I'm trying to talk about here. What I am trying to talk about here is Stardom World Live. It is something that many have asked for years. And I understand why. However, it has become very apparent to me in short order that this is not a better solution. Yes, I get to watch shows sooner. That's great. I love watching Stardom. However, the production takes a step down, which is, you know, fine, whatever. I've watched wrestling on bad cameras before, whatever. It's fine. At least it's live, right? Wrong. We're no longer getting subtitles on promos anymore. And I don't see that happening anytime soon, because obviously Sonny's on his way out and he's the one that did that. And to me, it feels like that doing these live shows is a way to fill in for that, right? They don't have, you don't have to upload it anymore if it's just up in one big clip and it was live. Listen, I'm not complaining about the idea of shows being live. That's great. It's going to be amazing when the 5-star comes around. I'm going to be so happy about that. But we are losing out on stories here. We are losing out on character building. We are losing out on so much when we don't know the promos and when we don't know the character building and things that are being said. That was always the beauty to me with the uploads. I never had a problem with the uploads. I've never had the problem with the uploads. I know a lot of people have, but I never have. I understand it's more modern because now shows are live. But if you're not going to have commentary with someone on English that's going to tell you what they're saying, or if you're not going to have subtitles for when these wrestlers do the promos, it is a problem. It is a problem. That entire Utami Sayakantani Queen's Quest story last year was told in promos, whether it be backstage or in the ring. We wouldn't have so much of that. We just have to go off emotion. And don't get me wrong, they do an incredible job at sharing emotion and making you understand just through their faces. But we need to know their words. We need to be able to quote them. We need to be able, like, as someone who writes articles about these wrestlers and their stories and their histories, so many quotes are so important to all that. I get it. Live wrestling is great. Live stardom's lovely. But it's not worth missing the stories that have made this company as great as it is. And that's ultimately what I see happening with these live Stardom Worlds from now on. Because I don't think they're going to re-upload shows after the live show. I think the clip that they record live is the clip. Period. I want to be proven wrong. I want them to start tweeting quotes or do something of the sort. But until I know that's going to happen, I don't like this pivot. I don't. It's going to be great during the 5-star when shows are live. I get it. And they're putting these big shows on the weekends on pay-per-view. I don't love that. Like, house shows should be on Stardom World if you're going to go live on them. That's just my opinion. This weekend, I guess, is different because there's title matches and so on. But still, I don't need to pay extra money. But that is my gripe with Stardom World right now, or the idea of going live on Stardom World. And I don't know how many people notice that, but we're going to lose out on a lot of content just to go live. And again, I really don't think that's worth it. So that's my take on the situation. You can disagree with me. That's fine. You know, let me know. But for me, it's all about the story, and the story is what matters. And if we're not getting the subtitles and the translations that we necessarily need in due time, we're going to miss out on a lot. And we're going to miss out on what makes Stardom great, which is their ability to tell stories.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyways, let's move on. It's time for the big preview. 30 minutes of talking, as you know, but let's get to the big preview. The big preview, of course, begins with Stardom, because Stardom is not a necessarily gigantic weekend, but it is the final weekend for Mirai, Izuki, and Mai Sakurai. Utami and Julia do have important matches on this weekend before they officially wrap up on Stardom next Japan show after this, which is the April 12th Cork and Hall show. So, yeah, it's pretty big, pretty important. So let's get into it. On Saturday, it will be in Sendai Pit. We will have this. This is the big show. This is the show that if you want to watch live, this is the one worth paying for, in my opinion. So we'll have Yuzuki in a star special gauntlet match, as she will go one-on-one with Mayu Yutani, Momokogo, Koguma, Hazuki, Saida, and Hanan in 1 minute singles matches. Essentially her goodbye match with her group. Should be a fun emotional match. It's only 1 minute, so it's nothing too long, but should be emotional nonetheless. Saki Kashima and Rana Yagami versus Wakasukiyama and Hanako versus Ruaka and Rina. It's just a match. Yuna Mizumori versus Lady C versus Mai Sakurai. Hopefully Yuna Mizumori gets that. I want her to keep picking up wins. In a very special match, this will be Julia's third to final match in a Stardom ring. It will be Sayori No and Natsupoi versus Azumi Miyu Amasaki versus Natsuko Toriyama Watanabe versus, yes, people, you finally get it. Julia and Tam team up after getting that taken away from us 2 weekends ago. They will team up this time, and it will be something, that's for sure. That match should be actually very good and very entertaining. It's a four-way tag. I can't see that being too bad. We'll have a Cosmic Angels decision match. I talked about this a little bit earlier. It'll be Sayaka Karara versus Aya Sakura, the winner, likely to join Cosmic Angels on an official basis. I believe Sayaka Karara will be winning this match. I believe Sayaka Karara should be winning this match. Rian will make her debut officially, as she will face Starlight Kid in her debut match. I'm very interested in what kind of talent Rian is. You know, her debut was announced back in January, I believe, at the press conference ahead of the Rookie of the Stardom tournament. It is going to essentially be April when she makes her debut. So obviously excited to see what she can bring to the table. And then, of course, the big two matches. It will be the Artist of Stardom Championships on the line as Mirai, Shuri, and Ami Sorey defend against Micah, Mina Shirakawa, and Xena. There's not much of a secret here. Mirai is on her way out of Stardom. Title's got to change. Now, would I be surprised if one of these two titles didn't change and they just let one of them relinquish them and do something vacant? Yes, it wouldn't be that big of a shock, but I think they just make the title changes here. And I think Micah, Mina Shirakawa, and Xena make so much sense as your next trios champions. I don't love having a double champion with the world because I want the belts to be defended, but EXV rocks, so I'm not going to be too upset with them winning the belts. I'm expecting this match to be very good. That's the one thing I can say is there's a lot of things that work here that should make this match quite entertaining, and I'm looking forward to that EXV victory. And then, of course, your main event for the Goddesses of Stardom titles. This match was supposed to happen months ago at this stage, as it will be Aphrodite defending the Goddesses of Stardom championships against Su Suzuki and May Sarah of Crazy Star. Now, you know I'm not going to complain about double champion May Sarah. Again, the problem comes of another double champion, but I'm going to be happy to see it at least, so that's okay. And the high-speed title doesn't get defended all too much. The thing with the world being double champion is you know that belt's going to be defended on pay-per-views, which means the artist won't. The goddesses have higher priority than the high-speed belt, so it'll be interesting to see how they go about that. But it should be a tremendous main event between these two teams, arguably the two best teams in Stardom today. And Suzuki finally getting a belt after a year of domination. She's getting a belt, so I'll take it. I love Crazy Star. They're probably my favorite tag team going. It's either them or Wing Gory. So, yeah, obviously I'm very excited for this match, and I think it's going to be excellent. And no complaints here, but I, of course, do expect Crazy Star to win. Otherwise, you're just doing something silly by not having Aphrodite put someone over on the way out, especially a team like Crazy Star. And then Sunday, which will also be available on pay-per-view. This will be the final matches for Mirai, Mai Sakurai, and Yuzuki. The card is as follows. Utami, in her second to final match in a Stardom ring, will team up with Saya Kamatani, Azumi, Lady C, and Miyu Amasaki against Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, Ruaka, and Arena. Mirai will enter a God's Eye Gauntlet. Each match will be 5 minutes long. So that's important, obviously. It will be Rana Yagami, Shuri, Ami Sarai, and Saki Kashima. So should be an emotional road to the end for Mirai there. I look forward to these gauntlets. I think the gauntlets rule. So we'll have to wait and see. Mayu Yutani, Hazuki, Koguma, and Momo Kogo face off with Mina Shirakawa, Wakasukiyama, Zena, and Hanaka. Natsupoi and Yuna Mizumori will team up against the two youngsters of Cosmic Angels, presumably, as will be Aya Sakura and Sayaka Karara. In Rian's first match back, it will be, or second match of her career, not first match back. But it's nice to see Momo Kogo back, by the way. She had been out, so she will be able to make the U.S. show, which is always good. It'll be Hanan and Sayaida versus Micah and Rian. So interesting to see Micah teaming up with the rookie. May Sarah will be Yuzuki's final opponent in a Stardom ring. I'm sure that's going to be cool. I wonder if Yuzuki had that high speed future coming, and we obviously aren't going to go that route, but obviously that's going to rule. Like, that's a hell of a last match in Stardom. Mai Sakurai will have her final match as she faces her hand-picked opponent, Tam Nakano, in a very emotional match. What is likely to be an emotional match. This was a match that Mai Sakurai asked for. Obviously, Mai Sakurai joined Cosmic Angels when she joined this company, so she will be wrapping it up against Tam. And in the main event, one-on-one for maybe the last time ever, Julia versus Suzu Suzuki. I can't say you can beat that. Like, that's just phenomenal. That's phenomenal. I was hoping Julia would face Suzu one more time before she called it in Stardom, and we are getting it. So I'm looking forward to that. I guess I'll do my Stardom in USA, Stardom America Dream 2024 in the keynote state preview. We don't have a card. I'm recording this a week away, and we don't have a card, and we're not going to have a card until this weekend shows are over. That's not great. You know, like, obviously they sold all their tickets and stuff, so it doesn't matter, I guess. But to me, personally, I don't love not having a card for this big return to America. What we do know is that Michael will be defending the World of Stardom Championship against Megan Bain. But that's it. We have Mariah May on the card. We have Will Nightingale on the card. Mayu, Tam, Saya Kamatani, Azumi, Mina Shirakawa, Zaya Brookside, Stephanie Vaquer. We have all these different talents on the show. But where are we plugging them into? Are we seeing a Club Venus reunion? Are we seeing Stephanie Vaquer defend the belt? Or, you know, I'm going to guess Stephanie Vaquer is in a preview tag between her and Azumi, because I think the week after Windy City Riot, it'll be Stephanie Vaquer versus Azumi for the strong belt, I'm thinking. But yeah, I that is the preview for the America show. It should be great. Looking forward to watching it live, but I don't know. I don't know. So that's it for Stardom. We're going to wrap up Stardom there because there's just so much unpredictability with a card that only has one match. Multiple champions, but okay, listen, the new artist champs won't be represented there because Xena's not going over. So that's not going to be defended. The new goddess champs, most likely, or the old goddess champs, doesn't really matter. Suzuki is not heading over as of this recording. So those belts are out of the question. IWGP title match, Mayu's defending against Sari, so that's probably not happening. Sayori Inoue's not going over. May Sarah can make a defense. That'd be cool. That'd be very much like the 2019 show where Hazuki defended against Dust, I believe. So that would be cool. Maybe that's something they could toss on there. But yeah, it's pretty wide open. And we'll have to wait and see what that show looks like. But I will be reviewing that show for next week's episode. So make sure you tune in because I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the card that doesn't have anything on it. But let's get to TJPW's big time week. They have three shows in the next 8 days? Question mark? Yes, 8 days. There will be Grand Princess this Sunday, which, good timing. You can check out my interviews with both Arisu Endo and Miyu Watanabe over on Fightful.com. I think those are always good. You know, when I do TJPW interviews, they're not a lot of questions. You only get to ask so many, but the Miyu Watanabe one's very open about her relationship with Rika Tatsumi, her big match against Miyu Yamashita. So I think that's well worth it. And yeah, let's, and they also have two showings in the US as they will be holding their own show for the second straight year, TJPW Live in Philly on Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And they will also be having a show as part of GCW versus TJPW, which I will get into as well. It is worth noting that Spark is having a show this weekend or that weekend as well. The same day as WrestleMania Day 2, it will be Spark Trailblaze. And I bring this up because Mayu Iwatani, Mina Shirakawa, Azumi, Tam Nakano, and Starlight Kid will all be competing on that show. Mayu Iwatani and a tryout trainee. The winner of the tryouts will team with Mayu to face Team Konami. So don't expect Mayu to be doing a lot. Aja Kong's on that show. Kyoko Inoue's on that show. Vert Vixen, Hayan, Janai Kai. So it should be a fun show. I have no clue if it's airing anywhere, but it will be happening. So that'll be pretty cool. But let's get into the big TJPW week. And it all starts, of course, with Grand Princess. Grand Princess is their second biggest show of the year, maybe arguably their biggest. Depends if you think Grand Princess or Wrestle Princess has the more prestige. I think Wrestle Princess does, but Grand Princess is just as big, if not bigger, as this one will be taking place in Ryogoku Sumo Hall. So a gigantic show for TJPW, an 11 match card. It's a big one, folks. Next week, I'll be welcoming my Ocean Cyclone show, Partners in Crime. We'll have a full discussion about things going on for that show, actually, on this show next week. But they will be joining me to review this show. So that should be a lot of fun. And then, of course, I will review the Stardom U.S. show alone later that week. So you'll get kind of this combo review. Should be a lot of fun. But let's talk about it. Grand Princess. We will breeze through the first few tag matches, but it'll be Chika Nanase, Kira Summer, and Shino Suzuki teaming up against Uta Takami, Runa Akubo, and Haru Kazushiro. That is the all-rookie match for TJPW. And I think the beautiful thing about TJPW in the year, what year is it? 2024 is that they have so much young talent coming in that are getting ready to step into these big spots. So this time next year, when Grand Princess comes around, hopefully they're in even bigger spots. I believe this is Takami's debut. I believe every other wrestler has made their debut, but I believe this will be Takami's debut. I'm going to guess Shino Suzuki and crew win, but couldn't begin to tell you because it's an all-rookie match, but they make the most sense here. Ami Yamoto, which I believe is part of SKE48 with Yuki Arai, or she's an idol, I know that, will be making her debut as she teams with Naoki Kakuda against Himawari and Mihiro Kiryu. Always interested to see what the idols do in their debuts. Andreza, the giant panda, makes their return, and we know how I feel about Andreza, the giant panda. They'll be teaming with Kaya Toribami against Palm Harajuku and Raku. That match is completely made for anyone but me. That is the ultimate TJPW match. Oh boy. This next match should be pretty good. One of Juri Nagano's final matches as she teams up with Moka Miyamoto to take on Wakana Uehara and Toga. I'm a big fan of where Wakana is going, obviously, in her career, and I think Toga has a bright future as well. They should be winning with Juri on her way out. Now, this is the match. It'll be Riga Tatsumi one-on-one with Masha Slamovic. That could be the match of the night. It could be. It very well could be the match of the night. Depends how much time they get. But Rika's phenomenal, obviously. And I freaking love Masha Slamovic. Last time she was in Japan, she went one-on-one with Miyu Yamashita for the Princess of Princess Championship and had one of the best TJPW matches in quite some time. I have no doubt she can do the same against Rika. I just, again, want them to give them 13, 15 minutes. You know, they're lower on the card, so I'm a little worried, but I think they should get the time to put on a show. And I expect Rika to win unless they're doing more with Masha, but we'll have to wait and see. Aja Kong teams up with Max the Impaler to face Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima. There is not a world, any world, where Aja Kong and Max the Impaler lose this match. Not happening. They are going to destroy Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima. And I'm going to be very entertained. I'm not even going to lie to you. That's going to be very entertained. That's the ultimate TJPW match as well. But that's the side that I do enjoy. In a special singles one-on-one match, it will be Minoru Suzuki against Maki Ito. This match has two results. It's either going to be excellent because it's so crazy and Ito is such a performer, or it's just going to come up short and be GCW-like and I'm going to be upset. Yeah, those are the two results. It's one or the other, two extremes. Hoping it's the extreme of it blows me away. It's a very good match, but it's definitely a special singles match. I will give them that. In what I think will be the maybe the dark horse match of the night, the Magical Sugar Rabbits reunite as Yuka Sakazaki makes her first appearance in wrestling since graduating from TJPW at the end of last year, as she teams with her longtime tag team partner Mizuki to take on the Gato Move duo of Emi Sakura, also known as AEW's Emi Sakura, and Chris Brooks. Chris Brooks often calls the big shows for TJPW, but that will change this year. I firmly believe that this match is going to be very good, at the least. I think all four know what to do and put on a performance. Emi Sakura is fantastic, obviously. But Chris Brooks is one of the, from what I've seen, he is one of the better, like, intergender match wrestlers. So, you know, this should work well against Yuka and Mizuki, who will be very nice to see them together again. International Princess Championship match will be Yuki Arai going one-on-one with Yuki Kamifuku as she defends the title for the second time. Yuki Kamifuku, please, no way should be winning this. The fact that she's in this championship match hurts me. I feel like they should have gave Yuki Arai someone bigger, maybe like a Shoko Nakajima or something. Just, it would have made more sense. But Kamifuku's got her fans. This match probably won't be all too good. I don't think Yuki's all too good against great wrestlers. And Yuki Arai is not the one to carry them to something great. But she should be winning. It would be very silly to have her lose. Princess Tag Team title match. I'm very much looking for this one. Looking forward to this one. It'll be Rio Mizunami and Yuki Aino going defending the titles for the first time, I think, against Daisy Monkey Suzume and Arisu Endo. Of course, check out my interview with Arisu Endo over on Fightful.com right now. Daisy Monkey need to win this. Daisy Monkey, fantastic. I love Daisy Monkey. If there's an act in TJPW that works for me, you know, if there's a match that works for me, or a team that works for me in this company, it is them. They are fantastic. Endo is so talented. I think she should be a star very, very soon for this company. And Suzume is great as well. You know, Suzume has been someone I talked about on the show as who I want to see shine sooner rather than later. Endo has taken that spot from her, but they both deserve to have this moment. They could be great tag team champions because I think they bring whoever they face to better matches. They remind me a lot of Wingori in many ways. Very different styles, obviously, but both great tag teams, both great young tag teams. They need to get the title win here. And in the main event, probably the most interested I've been in a TJPW match since It's a very good question, isn't it? I don't know. Actually, it's been a long time. Like, this is the match. This has been the match since 2022 when Miyu Watanabe delivered one of the greatest performances in TJPW history by defeating Miyu Yamashita in the Tokyo Princess Cup. This is the rematch from then. Ever since that match, Many have agreed, few have disagreed, that Miyu Watanabe should be walking away as Princess of Princess Champion as soon as possible. This should be the passing of the torch. Miyu Watanabe should be becoming the ace of TJPW here. She's ready. She is the one. Check out my interview with Miyu Watanabe over on over on Fightful.com now. She is ready. She said in the interview, she wants to be a leader of TJPW. And to do that, she needs to win here. TJPW, you have made the wrong decision so many times, countless times. I plead with you, especially with Yamasha going to America for a month. Please, please let Watanabe take the crown here. She's so ready. This is the match she should be winning. Do not mess this up. It's time. Miyu Watanabe, I am predicting to win this belt because any other decision is the wrong decision. Moving forward to their GCW versus TJPW show and GCW TJPW live in Philadelphia. Let's look at that show first. It'll be Hyper Masao going one-on-one with Billy Starks. Should be an interesting match. I wish Billy Starks was in a higher match on this card. Shoko Nakajima going one-on-one with Rio of England, not Riho. Notably need to say that. Yuki Aino and Araku team up against Viva Van and Yuki Kamifuku. Daisy Monkey goes head-to-head with Zara Zakir and now Kakuta. I think that could become a tag title match very quickly. They like to do that. They did that last year as well. Mizuki and Vert Vixen team up against the team of Palm Harajuku and Maxine Paler. And in your main event, it'll be 1 to 1 million. Miyu Yamashita and Maki Ito against Daydream, Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi. I expect that match to be fantastic. And it's GCW versus TJPW. This card does not interest me nearly as much, but it's only right that I go through it. I'll probably watch the last two matches on the show, truthfully. But here it is. Suzume versus Palm Harajuku. You have Session Martina versus Raku. Dark Sheik versus Yuki Kamifuku. Steph DeLander versus Hyper Masao. Shaza McKenzie versus Risu Endo. This match will change because she's injured, but it's currently Sawyer Wreck. And Alley Catch versus Nao Kakuta and Mizuki. In the semi-main event, it will be Billy Starks and Jinai Kai going head-to-head with Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi. I think that match will be very good. And the main event, it'll be Masha Slamovic, Rina Yamashita, and Maki Ito representing GCW against the team of Miyu Yamashita, Yuki Aino, and Shoko Nakajima. I think that'll be pretty good. And, of course, also next week, on Thursday night, starting at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, it will be Masha Slamovic going one-on-one with Shuri in GCW and JCW versus the world for the JCW world title. The match is random. It's out of nowhere. But my God, if there's a match that's going to be good on any of these collective shows, it's going to be this one. This is the one I believe in. This is the one I'm excited about. So I'm looking forward to that. But I think that's it for the preview show. I have given every thought I have about these upcoming shows. Wish I could have done more for start and preview, obviously, for WrestleMania week. But we got nothing to go off of, at least as of my recording. Maybe they'll surprise us. But that's it. I'll be back next week reviewing Grand Princess, reviewing Stardom, Stardom America Dream 2024 in the keynote state. That's what we'll be back for. I'll also be talking about whatever happens this weekend as well for Stardom. And I don't know if there's much else for WrestleMania week after. The week following, we'll be talking Windy City Riot, the big Cork and Hall show that obviously will feature the goodbye for Utami and Julia, and so much more. So if you're enjoying the show, please make sure you keep subscribed to this podcast feed so you never miss an episode. And, you know, if you have any questions for me, always feel free to reach out. Follow me at Scott E. Wrestling on Twitter /X, whichever you prefer to call it. Like I said, check out my interviews with Arisu Endo and Miyu Watanabe over on Fightful.com. I have another interview coming out with Alex Windsor. That'll be on the Fightful YouTube channel. That was a lot of fun talking with her, including conversation about her time in TJPW. And next week I'll have my Ocean Cyclone boys over. We are part of a project together called Resera, which is a new website that's devoted all to Joshi. And that launches next week as well on April 2nd. I should have an article up over there about Utami Hayashishita and the importance of her going to Rossi's promotion. So if that interests you, make sure to check that out on April 2nd. That's it. I'm done. It's been a good hour. Thank you for listening. Until next time, see ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.